Discover, discuss, deliver. We are DPSD Vocals, a podcast aimed at broadening horizons and including lateral perspectives. We shed light on a diverse array of topics to enlighten and inspire you. From science and technology to arts and culture, our vision revolves around exploring the stories, ideas, and breakthroughs shaping our world.
In this episode, we uncover myths and understand the various aspects of attending such a prestigious institution like Stanford.
I am Mayank Mehta.
I am Shubh Tiwari.
And I am Praneel Narayan.
Of DPS Dubai, we are joined here today with Anuga Ramaswamy, an incoming freshman at Stanford University.
Just to remind everyone here today, the acceptance rate of Stanford is 3.7%.
A huge congratulations to Anuga on this wonderful achievement.
Thank you.
So, to begin, what made you choose the United States as your destination for pursuing higher education?
So, ever since high school started, I was pretty sure that I would be pursuing an education in STEM, although I wasn't sure of the subject. And as I entered like junior year, 11th grade, I was set on pursuing computer science. And weighing my options, I realized that the U.S. was a tech hub and I'd be able to explore so many new opportunities there, whether it was research or projects or working with professors. And most importantly, being in a community with people from all over the world and hopefully learning from their experiences as well.
So for a student starting to like build their profile, which categories would you suggest that they should focus on more? Like internships or something?
Right. So I think a common misconception that many people have about applications and about their profiles is that you always need to be a well-rounded person. But in reality, universities are looking for a well-rounded class, which means that it's important that you excel in whatever academic niche that you're portraying. So say that's STEM, for example, for me. So I try to focus on building more STEM-related projects or computer science projects and tying that in with community service. If you're interested in economics or business administration, for example, then going into internships related to that or entering a field with research related to that would be more suited. And at the same time, it's also important to show that you are a student outside academics. So things like sports, music, dance, volunteering, just to show that you too are a real person. Yeah.
So how do you balance being the head girl of our school along with your extracurriculars and other activities?
It definitely wasn't easy, but I think what's important is that you have to like what you're doing. And if you like it enough, then you will balance your schedule and you will make sure that you're making time for the things that are important. So I think for me, it was making sure, like just knowing that it wasn't a chore, it wasn't an extra burden, but it was something I really wanted to do. And that made it a lot easier.
There seems to be like a common misconception that students from IB and A-level schools have an edge over CBSE applications, like in IB schools or some big institutions. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
There definitely is an edge, I'd say, because even if you do look at the application process or the forms, you'd notice that CBSE isn't even automatically recognized. You'd have to enter it as an other curriculum, while things like IBs, APs, all apart from being recognized, also count towards college credit. So they're considered as introductory college courses. So for that, in that sense, even though CBSE might have more rigorous courses, they're not internationally recognized for some reason. In that case, I'd say you can either go ahead and take a few APs related to your core subjects that you might be taking in college and show them that you're compatible with other curriculums and that you are competent for that subject in a completely new curriculum. For me personally, I was a bit late to the process, so I kind of missed the deadline for the APs, but what I had were Olympiads. So those counted as international benchmarking tests. And I think that was enough to prove that I could do well within my curriculum and also in a curriculum that was more suited to the US.
So it is true that the college application process can be very stressful. So what was the role of your parents and mentors in this journey of yours?
as just like any other goal, I think it's really important to have a group of people that are supportive of your goals and are understanding whether you're at a low or a high. So when it comes to college application process, at least in our environment, not everyone is on the same boat. So it's easy to feel alone. It's easy to feel like, you know, you're falling behind because not everyone is experiencing the same things. Times like those, it's important to obviously have yourself, like believe in yourself, and also have your parents around you, like nurture those relationships, because those are the ones that are going to last. And they're the ones that are going to help you, whether it's through the process, maybe if you face a rejection to a place that you really wanted to go to, or to celebrate your acceptances with you. So, and mentors at school, again, there's no need to mention it at all, because we all know how important it is to have a good support system at school. Yeah, whether it's academics or extracurriculars, it's really important to have their support and just nurture those relationships, yeah.
Apart from the emotional support, I think you need their financial support as well. So could you enlighten us with the scholarship criteria in universities abroad?
Right. So in the US, although it's not really common for international students to apply for it, at top universities, that is. So there are two types of aid. There's need-based and there's need-blind. And then another completely different set is merit scholarships. So merit scholarships are those scholarships that you don't apply for separately and are not based on your financial circumstances. It has more to do with how they evaluate your profile and how much they want to give you so that you're attracted to attend that university. So while those are not usually available, again, for international students, we're kind of at a disadvantage. For most of the top universities, merit scholarship is given, for Stanford, for example, merit scholarships are given to high-performing athletes around the world. And when it comes to financial aid, a lot of schools are not need blind for international students, because it is believed that they basically don't want you to be a burden on their university. So I'm not very well versed with financial aid because I did not apply for them to keep my chances safe. But I think it's very important to have this conversation with your parents before finalizing your list, so that, you know, you can stick to your plan on the way and there's no hindrances.
That was quite informative. But did you face any distractions during your high school? And if so, what were they and how did you overcome them?
I wouldn't say I had any major distractions. I think like any other normal teen, there was probably social media or wanting to go out to every hangout ever. And I think with distractions like social media, you find out from the consequences or you just avoid them altogether. Once you realize the dearth of, you know, what's at cause, so you stop doing it altogether. So when you realize what your end goal is, you also realize the work that goes into that. So yeah, I think it's important to have a good picture of where you want to be in the end. And with things like being with friends or hanging out outside, it just comes down to compromise. It's hard at first because you're missing out. And if you're someone like me with major FOMO, you will feel sad about it. But I think eventually, once you do get the results of what you worked for, it's all worth it in the end.
So if there was one thing you could tell your younger self, what would it be?
I think entering into the whole college process late, like say 11th grade, as a CBSE student, when my dreams were not tiny, I wanted to attend a top university for computer science, which was extremely competitive considering like my demographic, right? Indian going to computer science. I did not have that much faith in myself because I was told that, you know, you have to aim low. IB students or even students from other curriculums have a much higher acceptance rate. And it's also their goal starting from 9th grade to get into these universities, right? While I myself was weighing my options between, you know, JE or should I be taking it? Should I be safe with like financially? And in 11th grade, I finally decided that I was going to streamline my efforts. I think I was a bit scared. I didn't think that it was a possibility to get into higher ranked colleges. And I thought, okay, let me just settle for what I get. I definitely don't think that should be the case for anyone, because these universities evaluate your profile based on what you're doing with the resources available to you. They're evaluating your profile knowing that you are from this school, knowing that you have this curriculum, and that you are doing whatever you can with this curriculum. And so, yeah, and also they look into your personality a lot, whatever, how you're able to put your experiences onto paper. So there's a lot more than just, you know, your curriculum or what activities you did starting from ninth grade or all that.
So what are some final words of motivation and excellence for students who wish to study at universities such as Stanford?
I think what's important is starting early with your profile. Although I started the application process late, my extracurriculars, I did not start late because I was involved in them from primary school or middle school out of interest. So when I was, say, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, I didn't really have to force these in. I think that really showed to the admissions officers, you can't fake your activities on your application. You can't fake your interests or your passions because those will show up on paper. So I think definitely start building interest and streamlining those efforts as early as possible. It's never too late. And if you start early, you might even be able to find out whether you actually like what you're doing. And you won't have regrets later. You can experiment with different opportunities.
Thank you so much to our wonderful guest, Anuga, for being here today. And it has been a wonderful session. Thank you for your wonderful insights. And we hope to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
A feeling of gratitude extends to all our listeners as we wrap up this episode. We hope you get to take something from here. And stay tuned to the upcoming episodes with new guests, a new vision, and a new dream. Thank you.